Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Jim Potts back on the air. Welcome to everybody that's listening. I really appreciate you taking your afternoon to listen to me, quite frankly. Okay, let's talk about what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to have a hot topic of the day, which I'll be talking about the unfortunate incident that happened in Annapolis, Maryland. And then we're going to be talking about some road rage tips and stats. And there's actually some funny information in there. I think you're going to enjoy that. And then, of course, we're going to have the HR corner where we're going to be throwing some things out there that people need to be aware of for the work environment. All right, let's get started. Now, look, you know, before I get into the main topics, you know, I always like to talk about the emails and everything. You know, I get some emails that are political in nature. I'm really not that warmed up. We're getting into the politics of things, the way some things can actually heat up out there. I really don't want to go down that path. I've gotten emails regarding the NRA, regarding, you know, guns, the Second Amendment. I'm really trying not to get heavy into any of that. I'm trying to stay focused on what we need to do as citizens to protect ourselves out there, make you aware of things that are going on out there. It doesn't get read on the air. It may be a little bit too political, all right? However, I do have one email that I want to read to you, and I love this email. It says, I have to tell you, I was thinking about getting a gun for protection. So many crazy people are not knowing when I might be faced with an extreme situation. I thought it was a good idea. And this is in reference to looking forward to getting a gun. And the person says, I was looking forward to going to the firing range and practicing. But in here, the person says, but I have to say, your first segment was exactly that. I had the volume real loud so I wouldn't miss a word. Everything you said made sense. At the firing range, no one is shooting back. Once to take that gun out, it's a serious situation. And I'm just reading this as it states. Looks like I won't be getting a gun. I'll stick with my baton stun gun. You said everything that I didn't think about and needed to hear. I'm so glad that I remembered to listen to your program. Thank you so much for the good advice. I hope there were many people out there who heard your message and would do the same as I did. Don't buy a gun. Leave that for the proper authorities. Love, Mom. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't my mom that did that. It was actually Cecile from Virginia. Well, Cecile, I hope you're listening today. I thought that was a very good email. It's a good message out there. I'm glad to know that people are listening. Again, I don't think that the average citizens with guns, I know some people want to feel that they're protecting themselves, but there's just so many responsibilities that come along with that, with having a weapon like that. Okay, let's talk about something a little bit more somber. First, I read right before I came over here that there was apparently a stabbing spree Saturday night in an apartment complex in Boise, Idaho. And this particular home has refugee families. And apparently this individual, 9 people, including children, to the hospital is what he ended up doing to these people, 4 with life-threatening injuries, according to the police. The individual, 30-year-old man, Timmy Kinner, K-I-N-N-E-R, is a suspect and was arrested after the attacks, and it happened about 8:45. He's not a refugee, so let me make that clear. And they don't know what the motive was. I guess the point that I'm telling you is here's people in their homes, and now they're being attacked by somebody unexpectedly. And again, they don't know why. But these are the kind of things we're faced with now, which is why I say, you know, when you're out there, you always have to be paying attention to what you're doing, where your surroundings are, who's around, etc. Your head should be on a swivel. You've heard me say this before. Be aware, be vigilant, and be safe. And unfortunately, that's what you're going to have to do these days in order to be safe. Now let's get to the hot topic. Hot topic today has to do with, well, I'm sure you've been following it on the news, but it has to do with the deadly shooting at the Capital Gazette newspaper in Annapolis, Maryland. The police had to respond to that shooting. Several people were feared killed at that time. The shooting was in a building that housed the Capital Gazette. Now, if you've heard about this, then you know that the suspect apparently had an issue with the newspaper that goes back some time. Now, when we're out there talking about domestic terrorism, you've heard me say before, disgruntled former employees, disgruntled current employees, irate customers. Now, he wasn't necessarily, and also domestic violence situation. Now, he wasn't necessarily a customer. He was somebody that had an issue with the newspaper. He was identified as Jared Ramos. He was 38 years old. Left five people dead. The police called the shooting a targeted attack by a suspect motivated by a vendetta against the local newspaper. They charged him with five counts of first-degree murder. Well, that's about right. If he planned it out, it's first-degree murder. Now, apparently the background on it was that he had sued the Capital Gazette for defamation way back in 2012. Now we're talking about 6 years ago, over a story about him. He lost the case. He had apparently accused them of publishing a defamatory article titled, and I don't know if some of you want to look this up, but Jared Wants to Be Your Friend. Now, according to the court documents, the article described a year-long nightmare in which a woman said that Ramos harassed her after contacting her on Facebook. So here we go with Facebook. You know, my personal feelings about it, yep, Facebook has taken over. It's out there. But people need to be careful with Facebook for a whole lot of different, you know, reasons, and this apparently is one of them. People are making contact out there on these social media sites, and quite frankly, this is one example where it turned out to be harmful. I'm sure there's a lot of good stories out there, but this is one that turned out to be harmful. Now, out of the blue, Ramos wrote and thanked her for being the only person ever to say hello or be nice to him in school, apparently. The article was printed in its full context in court documents, but I'm not going to go through the whole thing. Now, the question that I would pose out there, and by the way, if you want to call in once again, 818-602-4929. Again, that's 818-602-4929. Or you can email us, as some of you do, at listenupwithjp@pottsandassociates.com. Now, the question I would pose to you is, do you consider this domestic terrorism? Well, let me just tell you, in my opinion, that's exactly what it is. People have to get out of this mode that every time something happens, it has to be something from somebody from a foreign country. Domestic terrorism, as I've told you before, comes in all different directions. And by the way, I'll tell you something else. Don't think that this is the first time where somebody's been attacked at a newspaper. LA Times bombing way back in 1910. So this issue about attacking newspapers, and there's other incidents between that. Next week, one of the things I'm going to go into detail about is that bombing, because that was a real interesting story, and I want to be able to share the history with you. Now, from time to time, is what I would really like to do is give you some historical perspectives out there as well, so we get out of this frame of mind that all of this is recent. It's not, and I think you've heard me say that before. So each week, every other week or so, I'm going to put a little history and give you some incidents from the past. Because, quite frankly, some of it's very interesting, and I want you to hear that also. All for the same reasons of not letting us forget that these kind of things have happened in the past. Now, as a result of what happened, I guess the New York police also deployed themselves outside the New York Times building, because at the time, nobody knows what's going on. So because they don't know what's going on, obviously NYPD is going to react to it. And I'll tell you, NYPD, those guys are really on top of things out there because they've been faced with so many of these different incidents over the years that their readiness is very, very good. It's beyond reproach. So, you know, congratulations to them being so, you know, active with it again. Always on the ready. Now, this, what the police had gathered was that the gunman had opened fire to the Gazette when he killed these five people. Apparently, he also injured some other people. So it wasn't just the five people that got killed. Some other people were injured as well. The city itself was obviously not happy about something like this. I mean, this is very close to home, which brings up another issue. I constantly try to remind people that they have to think about the fact that this can happen to you. Don't think it can't. And we need, and when I say we, I'll just talk about law enforcement. Law enforcement needs the eyes and the ears of the general public to help out with potential issues. You know, on the way over here, we were discussing the fact that there was an incident that happened up in Oregon where there was a family that were camping out, and clearly the signs were only use gas, no charcoal, because people were afraid of fires, which is a legitimate concern, especially, you know, on the West Coast. And a woman saw this family using charcoal instead of gas. Now, most people think that charcoal was the big deal, you know, because charcoal is not like wood, but the rules are the rules. So the woman reported the fact that this family was using charcoal versus gas. And unfortunately, this lady who did the reporting, she was of a different ethnic background than the family who was using the coal. So right away, she got billed as a racist because of the fact that they felt that her intentions were motivated by race. Look, this is what happened in San Bernardino the first time. People indicated that they didn't want to say anything because they were afraid that they were going to be billed as racist. You know, we've gotten to a point, you know, where some of this has gotten out of control. We need people looking, all for the right reasons, of course. So let me just emphasize that. We need it for the right reasons. At any rate, so if you see something out there, please report it. If you're not sure, that's okay. Let's just let the authorities take care of it. You just make the report. Because, again, you just never know. Now, another one of the hot topics for the day, and, you know, that's out there that I heard, was that there were individuals that were saying that we need to get rid of ICE. Need to get rid of ICE. Look, ICE, some people want to know what that means. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is what it means. And they are working with Homeland Security. Their function is public safety. And I know that it appears sometimes that they are being unfair, and I'm not getting into the fairness of it or the right or the wrongs of it. I'm not trying to do that. But this is a federal agency that's set up to help protect us. Things are really inflammatory at this time. And we have these agencies in place like any other law enforcement agency to make sure that we're protected. Now, is what I would not be happy about, obviously, is when any law enforcement body in this country acts for prejudicial reasons, we'll say. And that's always going to be wrong. But we still have to look at what we're trying to do here. This business about terrorism and international terrorism is real, and we have to address it properly. We have to make sure that the people we're putting in place are doing it the right way, and I think that is important. And here I go saying that I was going to talk about politics at the beginning of this, and this might seem like it's drifting over into that area, but I think that this piece is important only from the standpoint that we need to make sure that as a nation that we are safe. And organizations like ICE or any other law enforcement body are important to the safety of this country. So I think that the people in place have to be the right people, obviously, and not doing this for other reasons. But when they start talking about getting rid of ICE, I just don't see how that makes any sense. Now, for any of you out there that has a comment about it, would like to talk about it, I've told you this is an open forum. So if you feel that you want to give a call in on it, you know, and express your opinion or send me an email on it, then, you know, that's fine. You know, we can definitely discuss it. Again, that number is 818-602-4929. Or you can email us at listenup@jp.pottsandassociates.com. So having said that, hopefully the right decisions will be made and our borders will still remain protected. Let's move on. Let's talk about one of the major issues that I want to talk about today is this business about road rage. Road rage. Now, I'm going to tell you, I do a lot of lecturing, as you know. Road rage to me is something that truly has gotten out of control. The incident that occurred, I don't know if you heard about it recently, it was on the news, had to do with Pasadena. One man gets out with a machete, another man gets out with a pipe fight, and this is in little old Pasadena. And I guess they got into it. Well, it escalated into violence. The driver in one vehicle brandished a machete while the other gentleman attacked him with a metal pipe. the pole-wielding driver sent the machete man to the hospital. So the pipe went out over the machete. But those are some serious weapons that people are using because of the fact that they had this issue. I guess it happened around 7:15 p.m. And from what they understand, one of them was age 44. And so it's not like this is a hot-headed young kid or something. You know, 44 years old. Pasadena used his foot-long pole to hit the other driver on the head multiple times. Now, yes, he got arrested, assault with a deadly weapon, and now he's on the $30,000 bail. But these are the kind of things that I try to emphasize to people. Why do you want to change your life in a heartbeat regarding somebody out there on the road? Last year, I believe it was, in Louisiana, where that football player, I believe he played for the Saints, got into a road rage incident. The other gentleman gets out to the car. He punches that gentleman. That gentleman takes out a gun and shoots and kills him. The wife jumps out of the car, and he shoots at her but misses. He just got convicted several months ago. Manslaughter and attempted manslaughter. And his sentence, as I recall, was 25 years to life without the possibility of parole. I tell people that, look, if you're out there and you encounter some of these people now, you don't know who these people are or what they're capable of doing. Why put yourself at risk and your family? Think about your families. You want to be able to go home at night and be with your family. The people at home that are waiting for you are depending on your comfort, your love, and maybe even your financial income. All of those things. Why do you want to change that because of somebody out there that you don't even know? Why do you want to have them impact your life that way? That gentleman, when he got convicted, said he wished he could take that, when he was at the sentencing, said he wished he could take that night back. See, this is all about emotions. You got to stay in control with your emotions out there. Several months ago, Pennsylvania, same thing. You know, during rush hour, some young girl cut this guy off and he turns around and shoots her in the head. 19-year-old girl gone behind road rage. These are the things that change people's lives. And again, all because of a stranger. Don't let strangers change your lives. Stay in control of your lives with these things. Now, there was another incident that took place. And once again, this is, in my opinion, this is just totally insane. Now, this one happened in Colorado. And you may have heard about this one on the news. But a boy is dead and his mother and brother are in critical condition after a road rage shooting in a Colorado parking lot. The suspect's name was Jeremy Webster, 23 years old, who's now in custody. Now, it apparently happened right outside of Denver. It took place on a Thursday afternoon, and I will tell you, it was, the facts are so ridiculous. He's an adult man. He wasn't related to any of the victims. Okay, he was also shot. And this gentleman just, in my opinion, just went off the deep end. The details of the incident were revealed whereby this individual got into it with this lady that was driving. And apparently is what they did was come off the freeway or the road and went into a parking lot. He turns around and shot the children, the mother, and then the 13-year-old boy, which was the son, was also shot. And what does he do? He stands over the boy and shoots him again. He's being charged with first-degree murder. Of course he is. At that point, it's premeditated because now he's standing over him after he's already wounded him. This is the kind of issues where I say where people, where this is getting out of control. And as a nation, we're going to have to address this issue. Now, you might remember in California a few years back where they had about weapons, as an example, on the freeway, and it was freeway shootings. You guys might remember that. Well, let me just tell you, you know, the legislators passed a law back then that if you even brandish a weapon on the freeway, it was going to be mandatory jail time. And that seemed like that cut it down very quickly. Now, I don't know. I don't have all of the stats to know if anybody ever gets sent up or not. But you don't hear about it on the news anymore like you did during that one particular time frame. So some of this, in my opinion, we have to make sure that the penalties are very stiff and severe regarding this road rage. Again, the guy in Louisiana, 25 years to life without possibility of parole in the first 25 years. That's a stiff penalty, but look what he did. You know, look what he did. So, you know, we're going to be talking about some interesting stats here in a little bit. But, you know, this senseless killing of this 13-year-old boy and his mother and her other son are in a critical condition. This is just ridiculous. So now let me give you some facts that I thought was interesting. First of all, road rage comes from aggressive driving techniques, they say. And the term was initially applied to a roadway incident that occurred actually in Los Angeles after there was a string of shootings that happened in the local freeway system, which is what I was just mentioning to you. Now, it has been defined as a traffic offense that is designed to purposely injure someone or something or leaving a vehicle to assault another driver. So I'm giving you the textbook definition with that. Now, they say aggressive driving actually accounts for 2 out of every 3 traffic fatalities that occur. Now, let's turn to some road rage facts. Most people don't consider themselves to be an aggressive driver, but a lot of regular driving skills actually qualify as driving aggressively. Now, driving with high beams on 100% of the time, using your phone while you drive, or switching lanes without signaling can all cause road rage. Now, if you're trying to beat, you know, the red lights or flash your lights at the drivers who drive too slow, then you could be susceptible to road rage. Come on, we've all done that. You know, the light is turning from green to yellow to red, and what do? We speed up. Remember that movie Starman? That was a great scene in there when the Starman was in there. It was played by Bo Bridges, I believe it was, or Jeff Bridges. And he had been following the lady, you know, driving with the lady in the car. And she had done that. So when he took over driving, again, he's Starman, so he's really from another planet type of thing, but he was in human form. And there was a truck getting ready to cross the intersection or something, and they were driving, and he sped up because of the fact that he had seen that when she saw the yellow light, that's what she did. And he almost got run over, basically, make a long story short. So I think we've all been a little guilty of that. That can annoy people for sure. So I get it, and especially the high beams. High beams can create outrage for people. So pay attention to those high beams. Anyway, 37% of the aggressive driving incidents that occur involve at least one firearm. 37%, one firearm is involved. Now, the person who's most susceptible to road rage, they say, is a male under the age of 19. 19. 1 out of every 2 drivers who are the recipient of an aggressive behavior while they are behind the wheel will respond in kind. So what is that telling you? 50% are going to respond back with aggressive behavior. Now, over apparently a 7-year study period, there were over 200 murders associated directly to road rage. 200 murders. That's a lot. Now, more than 12,000 preventable injuries have occurred because of road rage incidents that have also occurred. I had a fraternity brother of mine years ago told me the story that the person in front of them were driving too slow, or, you know, and he was really annoyed, and he had to get to wherever it was he was getting to. So when they came to a light, he got out of his vehicle and took the jack out of his car, the jackhammer, you know, which you use to pump up the jack. And he took that, went to the front of the person's car, and broke out their headlights. Now, I never thought about it back then, and we all kind of giggled about it. But now, that would be serious business. And this goes back, well, I'm not going to give you the years. I'm not going to go back that far. But just that would have been definitely considered road rage at this point, and at this point in time. Now, look, 2% of those who have someone driving around them aggressively have admitted to trying to run that car off the road. 49% of road rage incidents are caused by a distracted driver or someone not paying attention. Now, this business about not paying attention, you know, and I know that there's a lot of people out here with this business with texting and driving, or on their cell phones and driving. And now you see the person is drifting over the line. You know that they're on their phones. You know that they're texting or something like that. And that So that really annoys people as well. And you know how it is. If you're on the way to work in the morning, you know, somebody is creating a slowdown for you, people get upset about that. Then, of course, you have the senior citizens or the retired people that are out there. Now, you know, they're driving a little slower. They don't have to get to work. And now people get extremely upset with them, and they do things, beeping the horn. They try to get around them. They're flipping them off as they go by. And, you know, once again, that's all a sign of road rage. As soon as they get around sometimes that person in the car and they look over there and see this little elderly driver, why do they give those people driver's license? Well, look, if they're entitled to drive, they pass their driving test, guess what? They can still drive. So don't go by that. You know, calm down out there. Let's look at some other statistics here. 44% of road rage is triggered by someone being cut off. There it is. They get cut off. People make mistakes while they're driving. Can't you understand it out there, people? It happens to every driver. You might not see the car coming down the road, forget where your turn was or was supposed to be, and find yourself in the wrong lane of a freeway and you're in an unfamiliar city. Now, I got to tell you, I was actually involved in a road rage incident. I won't give you all of the details, but I'll just say it was a few years back. And I was coming down the freeway, and my exit came up on me unexpectedly, probably not paying attention, daydreaming or thinking about the appointment I was just on. So I turned around and looked to the right really quickly. There weren't any cars within a car's distance. It was probably this particular car that was coming up was probably about five cars back. So I scoot on across the lane. I come off on the exit, and the person pulls up next to me on the off-ramp. And what does the person say? You know, he flips me off. What are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. And I just basically, you know, I was having a good day. He was obviously having a bad day. And I just turned around and said, you know what? I said, you're obviously having a bad day. You know, I made a mistake. I came off. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. So, fine. You're right. I'm wrong. You know, and have a nice day. We go up to the top of the ramp because the light changes. We make a left, and we're sitting at a second light. And this guy is still barking. So I kind of like just kind of waved it off to try to ignore him. And then what does he do? He calls me that magic word, that magic N-word. That annoyed the hell out of me, and he takes off. I pursued that guy for about a half a mile driving, and very upset with him, obviously. And I don't even know if I had caught up to him, quite frankly. But there was an example where I had to catch a hold of myself, slow down, and say, this is not worth it. Now, to be honest, this was probably about 10 years ago. All right, so it wasn't since I got into all of this, so let me make that clear. But the point of the story is that we can very easily lose our control over these issues. And that's when we have to take a hold of ourselves and realize it's not worth it. And that's what I realized that day, and I just turned around and made a U-turn, you know, without any further incident. The problem is when a driver is trying to correct a mistake and it occurs at the expense of another driver, that other driver takes the situation personally. They get angry, the situation escalates, and before you know it, you've got a road rage incident on your hands. Now look, the best solution seems to be to forgive first and let it go. But a lot of people can't do that. You got people with anger management issues out there, they're not willing to let it go. So what's the other alternative? You let it go. Forget it. Ignore it. Now, let's talk about why is road rage such a problem. Do you know that 60% of drivers say that they viewed aggressive, unsafe driving by others as a major personal threat to their families? This included speeding. So they're saying that when these people are out there like this and they're driving crazy, erratic, it could impact their families, and then that's why they get upset. 30% of drivers said that they felt like their personal safety was at risk on the road within 30 days of when the survey was done, which was done last year. Now, aggressive drivers are more likely to drive without a seatbelt, and they're also more likely to drink and drive. Now, I'm not a big seatbelt person. My family gets on me about that. I've had my issues in a couple of accidents. I didn't have my seatbelt on. And I do try to be more conscientious about it now. In the city is one thing. On a freeway is a whole different ball game. And I know you're supposed to wear your seatbelt, actually. and I know it's the law, but there's a lot of people out there that don't like seatbelts. I'm kind of one of those people. I don't know. I just feel like it's so confining. I realize it can save your life, so I'm not telling you out there not to wear them. All right? Now, 14% of drivers apparently feel it's extremely dangerous to drive 10 miles per hour over the speed limit. So 14%, extremely dangerous to drive 10 miles over the speed limit. Now, look, there's times when I think all of us are doing a little bit speeding. What is the limit, 65, 70, whatever. Sometimes I'm just driving the speed limit, and I got people racing past me, and the flow of the traffic is going faster than that. So there's people out there that are not paying attention to the speed limits for sure. But let's slow it down a little bit, people. Now, 62% of drivers who fit into the category of an unsafe driver stated they had not been stopped by a police officer within the last year. There's only so many police officers out there, so they can only monitor so much. All right? So, you know, you can understand why people get upset, but the realities are it could create other problems. And look, 98% of drivers believe that it was important to take measures to reduce the prevalence of speeding and unsafe driving. Now, they say the number one method of reducing unsafe driving, according to their survey, was to increase the amount of police that are assigned to traffic control. And look, that makes sense. But look, the police can't be everywhere at once. And, you know, so I feel like we have to take the responsibility as an individual, but not toward other people. That's the key. We have to do it towards, you know, as an individual, slow down out there. If you slow down out there, it may help the road rage situation a little bit better, too. Now, they say that it needs to be a measure of personal responsibility that's associated with how we each drive, and this is what I'm telling you right now. We don't want road rage to occur, and then we're going to have to drive in a manner to prevent these incidents from occurring. Now, with 86% of the people in this particular survey that found it safe to drive more than 10 miles over the speed limit, most of us are contributing to the problem instead of working to find a way to stop it. Police patrols would be helpful. However, that would be higher tickets, all right, higher insurance rates. And that's not going to stop everybody. And then when you get a ticket, then you're going to get pissed off. You're going to have to go to court. Now you're mad. You know, you're going to blame the police officer. I remember one time I pulled over a guy that was speeding, and it was on the local freeway here. And I get out, I walk up to him, you know where I stopped you? No. That was always the classic answer. No, they know they're speeding. And I said, well, you know, you were going 80 miles an hour. And he looks at me and says, well, wait a minute, you can't stop me. You're not the highway patrol. He says, what are you talking about? You're in the county of Los Angeles. I'm an LA County deputy sheriff. Of course I can do that. So at any rate, so I'm writing the guy a ticket, and all these other cars are passing by us, and he wants to get upset with me because I'm not stopping the other cars. I look at him and say, what do you want me to do? Stop when I'm doing what you and go after them? I said, it doesn't work that way. You were the guy that got caught right now, and that's why you're getting the ticket. And then people get the tickets and you go to court and they want to plead guilty with an explanation. People, trust me when I tell you, guilty with an explanation doesn't work. All right? So those of you that have been in the traffic court, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Either you were speeding or you weren't. Slow it down. It may help in other areas such as this road rage issue. The bottom line is this. Until people start caring for others as much as they care about themselves on the road, they will continue to be this issue of road rage. It's going to continue. Let's show a little love out there, people, you know, in a whole lot of different respects. Boy, there's just so much hate that's going around out there right now, you know, for all the different reasons, in my opinion. Let's just start toning it down a little bit. Everything seems to be so inflamed right at the moment. At any rate, look, they say road rage is actually increasing, so let's talk about that. More than 90% of people that are driving to work every day in some form of a commute. One out of three drivers that live in one of the largest cities in the United States spends over 40 hours per year being stuck in a traffic jam. Traffic jam? Hey, guys, come out to California sometimes if you want to see a traffic jam. You know, it's funny when my wife and I are on the East Coast and we drive, and sometimes we drive from South Carolina to Washington, D.C. It's almost like when we get on the road any time of the day driving up there, we don't encounter traffic. Their idea of a traffic jam is maybe more than 20 cars on the freeway at one time. California, traffic jam, oh yeah. Every single day, no matter where you're going. You know, it's horrible. And it's getting worse. Now, Because of the extra traffic on the road, AAA estimates a 7% annual increase in the amount of road rages every year. 7%. Well, if you have more people on the road, that makes sense. Now, they say only 32% of people believe that a public awareness campaign against road rage would actually be effective. That's a low number. We're speaking out on it. Let's see what we can do. Hey, if any of you want to talk about road rage, give me a call, 818-602-4929. Now, 56% of men state that they experience road rage from another driver every single day. Here we go with the guys, right? They got that testosterone that's pumping up. Now, the percentage of women that said that they experience road rage on a daily basis is 44%. Well, that's not that far behind, really. Now, I will tell you that there's actually no official government agency that tracks road rage statistics. Much of the data comes from all these different organizations that are doing it. AAA apparently is one of them. Now, I'll give you some other stats. Up to 1,500 people are killed or injured on the road in road rage incidents every year. There are some real lunatics on the road that cause a number of tragic stories, but the issue involves anger and mental disorders while on the road. They say one in particular caused an intermittent explosive disorder, IED, which causes a person's anger to go from 0 to 60 instantly. And it's estimated that 7% of the American population has this disorder. Which means that there's a potential of 16 million drivers on the road right now that are driving with simmering anger. When the anger surfaces at the slightest offense, then the potential for road rage to occur next is greatly increased. Now, in looking at IED, less than 3 out of 10 of those who have it will ever receive treatment for their anger. And that's why personal responsibility seems to be the key to preventing an incident before it can spiral out of control. You know, we give a lot of education on anger management, this business about violence in the workplace. As you know, we've got these programs that we're doing now for businesses out there. We call it the Bullseye Program. People always ask us, well, what does that bullseye mean? Well, it's actually something I created. If you think about it in terms of what the bullseye is, you have the rings coming out from the center of the bullseye. The bullseye is the work environment. All those other rings stand for different types of security measures that we look at, the surrounding areas, we look at those as well. That's what we do. We have what we call site assessments. So we go out there and we look for the strengths and the weaknesses as well. And then the training, of course, that we do the active shooter training, put procedures and protocols into place. All of this is designed to make it for healthy environments. And part of that training, we do talk about road rage, and we try to get people to be, you know, to calm down out there with some of this. So let's look at a couple of other interesting facts here. Now, they say that the likeliest road rage culprits are men aged, are you ready for this, 35 to 50. And guess what? They're driving blue BMWs. Now, I don't know who tracks this kind of stuff, but there it is. So they say 35 to 50, the likeliest road rage culprits. Now, 31% of road rage offenders said that shouting or swearing was the most common way that they expressed their anger. 31%. Hey, if you got a blue BMW, I don't know, you might want to get rid of it. Nah, just kidding. 11% of randomly selected sample of 790 drivers reported that they always or sometimes carried a gun, usually loaded in their vehicle. 11%. Now, you know, some states have the right to carry. So I don't know, you know, depending on what county you are in California, how easy it is to get one, you know, what we call a CCW. You guys have heard me talk about that before. But that means people have guns in their cars. Now, listen to this. 56% of the men surveyed said that they experience road rage on a daily basis versus 44% for women. Now, the top offenses, though, that were most likely to have sent the driver into road rage, here's what it is. All right, so now I'm going to give you the percentages of what causes the road rage. 49% distracted driving, right? People who are not paying attention to their driving and they piss off the person behind them. 44% getting cut off. Now, look, I know we're all trying to get home after work and people don't like them cutting off. That's why you could tell sometimes when somebody's coming, they want to speed up all of a sudden as if, you know, to get in front of you as if that one more car was going to make the big difference. 39% aggressive drivers. 34% running late. 27% blocking merging lanes. 24% heavy traffic. And then construction delays and detours really make people upset. So now you've got the anger issue, and now you have somebody else that's contributing to that, either because they're cutting them off, they're inching in front of them, or whatever the case may be. Now, they say that some people just get upset because they're having a bad day. 16% having a bad day. Now, here's what I want to discuss with you. The five most common cars for road rage drivers. Now, listen to this. The five most common cars for road rage drivers. Now, I've already told you about BMWs, all right? 34% BMW. Land Rovers, 32%. Subaru, 22%. And this other one, to be honest with you, I had never heard of, but VAUXHALL, whatever that is, at 18%. All right. Now, those are the cars. So you got to watch out for those cars, I guess. Subaru drivers, BMWs, Land Rovers, and this other one that I mentioned. Then they have the five most common car colors. Car colors for road rage. So now we got to watch out for the color of the car. 26%, the cars are silver. Black cars, 33%. Green cars, 19%. Red cars, 15%. And the high number, here we go, blue cars, 47%, they say. Okay, is the most common color car for road rage. So you see a blue car coming, get out of the way. Now, listen to this one. September is statistically the worst month. The worst month. Now, I don't know if that's because that's the back-to-school thing or whatever the case may be. Maybe so. But they say September is the worst month for road rage. Now, what do you think is the least? What do you think? Shout it out. Shout louder. I can't hear you. Well, let me just help you out. June. So we just got out of June, and June is the least. Now, what day of the week do you think is the worst? Shout it out. Okay. One of my associates is here mouthing off Fridays. Friday is incorrect. Believe it or not, and this is surprising to me, Tuesdays. They say Tuesdays are the worst day. Now, I can't figure that. And I get Monday and I get Friday. But Tuesday? I don't know. Now, the next one is probably pretty simple. Which do you think is the least day that they have any road rage issues? Let me see if my associate over here can mouth that one off. Okay. My associate is saying Sunday. Come on. That's an easy one, guys. We got that one. It is Sunday. Everybody's supposed to be at church, or, you know, they got the spirit that day, so they're trying to be kind to everybody else. But now let's look at, what do you think is the worst time of the day? The worst time of the day. Come on, shout it out so I can hear it way out here in California. Well, let me help you out with it. 5:45 p.m. is the worst time of the day. Now, that does make sense, because what's happening at 5:45? Most people are getting off of work at, what, 5 o'clock? So as a result of getting off at 5 o'clock, you know, people are on edge. They want to get home. They got to go shopping, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, I get it. Okay, now, that was just some fun facts on the road rage. So please, people, calm down out there with this. These things can lead to serious consequences. It's not worth it. When I do the trainings for this, I tell people, look, when you're out there and you're driving, you just think of one thing, that you want to go home that night. Yeah, people there who love you, like I said, don't let some stranger out there deter you from that goal. And that's really the bottom line. All right? Okay, now, let's turn our attention to a new law that's getting ready to come out. And that has to do with, so this is the HR corner piece that I always like to do something on HR as well. Not only just for the businesses out there, but for the employees out there as well. Changes in the law. This is what I'm getting ready to tell you is a long-standing issue that it looks like it's going to now, I don't want to say come to a head, but now there's going to be some legislative enactment as opposed to case law. Effective July 1st, they're now going to have an English-only policy in terms of the English-only, having an English-only policy in the workplace. That's changing. So I will tell you that there's two different levels. There's a federal level and there's a state level. Now, on a federal level, that's one thing. The individual states can have their own policies. So the policy I'm talking about right now is California. But remember, California tends to lead the charge on so many different areas from that perspective. So what's the new policy? The new policy in California is going to provide that English-only workplace rules are presumptively illegal unless the employer can establish one of two things or three things. One is that the rule is justified by business necessity, and two, that the rule is narrowly tailored, so it's going to be very specific. Now, look, sometimes people on applications will put down, do you know any other languages? Just remember, be careful with that out there, Mr. Employers, because you're only supposed to ask if it's their job, okay, having a bilingual person for their job. So generally, you just can't just ask the question. There has to be a reason you're asking the question. And then number three is that the rule is clearly explained to the employees. Now, that needs to be in an employee handbook, if nothing else, at that point. Now, the test, the employer is going to have to be able to prove that the language restriction is necessary to the safe and efficient operation of the business, that the restriction effectively fulfills the business purpose it is supposed to serve, and that there is no alternative practice to the language restriction that would accomplish the business purpose equally well with a lesser discriminatory impact. Now, promoting business convenience or customer or coworker preference is not sufficient to justify an English-only rule. Let's talk about coworker preference real quick, because I will tell you, we always get those calls because people are upset when they hear somebody talking in a language that they don't understand. So right away, the common complaint is they must be talking about me. Now look, people, get over it. You know what's interesting to me? If the same two people were whispering, you wouldn't probably say anything. But because it's a language that you don't understand, that's problematic. So there's times when we get the calls, you know, it's creating a morale problem because people are speaking in a language that some don't understand. Look, here's my position on it. It's very simple. Respect people if they know more than one language. That's the first thing. But for those of you that know more than one language, respect those who don't. Now, you know, you're in a break room, you're on your break, you're speaking with somebody in the same language that you speak with. You know, I mean, that's one thing. Again, I don't have an issue with that. Now, there's some federal cases out there where the employer, a supervisor told two employees speak English only, and they became upset and they sued. This goes back a few years ago. And the federal court held that, in fact, the employer has a right to have people speaking in a language that they understand. But that's on the federal level. So remember, guys, difference between federal level, state levels. All right. There was another situation on a federal case where the employer turned around and said the same thing, that it was creating a morale problem. And then a federal court came out and said, yep, you know, the employer has a right to control their morale. So I just tell people on both sides of that coin, respect each other, and we shouldn't have an issue. Now, look, with this new law, additionally, even when an employer can justify an English-only rule, such a rule cannot be applied during the employee's non-work time, including breaks, which I just mentioned to you, and unpaid employer-sponsored events. So this law is, you know, it's getting ready to come out. It's effective, actually, today, which is why I thought that I would bring this up. And I'm probably going to have something on it on my blog as well. All right? So kind of keep that in mind. Let's just be tolerant of each other, no matter what state that you're in, when it comes to this English-only business. All right? Okay. Now, the last note I want to make on this that they made clear was that discrimination based on an applicant or an employee's English proficiency is going to be unlawful unless the English proficiency requirement at issue is justified by business necessity. All right? So just keep that in mind. Don't be asking them, do you speak more than one language? All right, unless it's part of their job. If it's not, just plain stay away from it. Okay? Okay. The last comment that I want to make to you has to do with workplace homicides in the United States. The last statistics I had on this was that I wanted to share this with you. These workplace homicides are getting to be, it's getting to be out of control. And I'm going to tell you something, believe it or not, women, you know, they have a higher percentage of domestic violence killings, which is not probably totally surprising, but 40% of all workplace homicides, 40% were women who got killed. All right? And that's a high number. In the same category, only 2% of men got killed due to domestic violence. Now, some people will say, well, that makes sense. But we have to control domestic violence as well. All right? Those things spill over into the work environment. So my caution out there to managers is to, you know, pay attention if somebody comes to you and complains about domestic violence at home, because now it's spilling over into the work environment. So keep that in mind. All right? Okay. You've been listening to Jim Potts at LA Talk Radio, and it's time to close out the show. I'm telling you, this time goes by quick. But let me remind you that you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/JimPottsAuthor. Be sure to join me next week, and we're going to be discussing, as I told you, a little bit about that L.A. Times bombing, because I want to start giving you guys some little historical stuff, because some of this is very interesting. Until then, be aware, be vigilant, be safe. Take care.
You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Listen Up with Jim Potts, only on LA Talk Radio.